This show is recorded. Please do not call or text.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome. It is the Prayer Closet. It's that time we take out of every day to lift up your before the Lord. If you have a prayer request for us today, 419-389-0893. 419-389-0893 or prayer. Let us know what your need is today, and we will lift it up before the Lord on the Prayer Closet. Once again, 419-389-0893 or prayer at yeshome.com. And remember, we always keep your prayer requests anonymous. We never give out your name or information. So don't let that keep you or hinder you from getting the prayer that you need. We always anonymous. Unless, of course, you would ask us to name it. Sometimes people do, and we do. You know, God knows who you are, and that's what matters. We just want to pray for you. 419-389-0893 or prayer at yeshome.com. And Lord, we do thank you this day for your love and grace and mercy. Thank you for your many blessings that you pour out on us each day. And Lord, thank you for the opportunity we have to come before you this morning, to seek you, to know that you are a good and gracious God and cares for us. Lord, that you are ready to meet our every need. And Lord, we pray that you would work with might and power and strength in the lives of your people today, that we would experience you in all your goodness and all your fullness. Lord, that everyone who calls in with their requests, Lord, would experience you in a powerful way. Lord, as you work your power and might in their lives. And we thank you, God, that we can come before you and know that you are there. You have invited us in to enter into the throne room of grace because you love us as a good and loving Father. So we thank you, we praise you, we give you all glory today and pray this in your name. Amen. Once again, 419-389-0893 or prayer at yeshome.com. And before we get into our press, we always like to get into the Word of God to give you some spiritual insight, get our hearts ready and set for prayer. And we've been going through the book of Genesis. We've been going through the book of Genesis and dealing with We've been going through the first couple of chapters of Genesis. Not verse by verse, but looking at how our culture is basically at war with Genesis 1 and 3. That we're trying to undo the things, the mandates, and the things that God created and designed in Genesis. And this is causing a lot of our problems. Because God has designed the world to work in a certain way. And if we go against that, bad things come. And so we're looking at how we've been challenging just so many of the basic fundamental things that God created in his order and how our culture is trying to undo those and why this has gotten us into the position we're in, which is not very good. And last week we looked at Friday. We were at verse 28, chapter 1, says, God said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth, subdue it. And we talked about how God's desire for the earth to be filled. And how so much of our culture is really an anti-human culture, where human beings are seen as the problem. And I'm not going to go back to all that, but I did want to touch on one thing we didn't really get to last before we move on. And it certainly came to a head over the last week with this Texas abortion law. We didn't really talk about this in the context of abortion, but at least not explicitly. But that really, when you think about it, you know, God's desire is for the earth to be filled, be multiply, that children are a blessing. But our culture now has said that children are a curse. They're something to be got rid of. They're an inconvenience. They're something to be destroyed. And we can talk about that in a lot of different ways. the immorality of that. But just think about that attitude where we have seen them as a burden, an impediment, you know, it's going to mess up my career. It's going to mess up my, I had plans. I want to do this, that, you know, all the ways in which children are diminished in our culture. They're seen as a liability. They impact my freedom. They impact my independence. They're expensive. Which, by the way, all those things are true. I have four kids. I tell you right now, my wife and I did a whole lot more stuff before we had kids. We used to travel more. We used to go out more. We used to eat out more. Our house was cleaner. And it stayed clean. And things didn't get broke time. It was quieter. Yep, all those things are true. But how valuable are they? Are they more valuable than my children? No. Yeah, you give up stuff. You put aside some things to take up other things. The things you take up are better than the things you put aside. I mean, the things you put aside don't have any worth or value, but you know what? They're not as important as what you take up. We still get to do stuff. We get to do stuff with our kids, and we get the joy of seeing them get excited about stuff and watching them grow and see them mature. You know, this Sunday it was a Sunday after church. We went over to my parents' house, and you know, my parents don't get around much anymore, but we went over there and cooked out, you know, just some burgers and some wings and played some cards. And then we got out in the driveway, and me and my 7-year-old daughter, they got a little cornhole game going. My dad, he's got to get around on a little scooter now because he doesn't get around very well. But he was able to get out there on his scooter and play cornhole. And my mom, seeing the two of them play with me and my daughter, 3 generations. And we're playing cornhole out there and just having a good time and laughing. By the way, my daughter and I won. Then we beat my 2 middle boys. Then we beat my wife and my oldest boy. My daughter's... She's clutch. That's all I'm going to say. Clutch. Comes to cornhole. Don't underestimate her. A little erratic. Not going to lie. A little erratic in the throws. But she makes them when she needs them. Clutch. Got ice in her veins. And it was wonderful. You know, that, you know, 3 generations out there playing, having fun. That's more important than going out for a dinner. Getting to travel away for a weekend. We don't value the things we should value, which is why we ultimately don't value life. Centeredness. Everything's about me. It's an impediment to me. It impacts my freedom. It impacts my independence. It impacts my job. It impacts my career. It impacts my... All those things are true. I'd have a lot more money and a lot more time and a lot more freedom. It's all true. But freedom, time, and money, or I should say a lot more time for myself, maybe put it that way. Those things pale in comparison. Paul talks about in Corinthians, he says, when I was a child, I thought as a child, I spoke as a child. But when I grew old, away childish things. But we have a culture that refuses to put away childish things. And the irony is just not to value children. So much so that now, you know, we have people going into absolute hysterics over the state of Texas because they won't be able to kill their kids. And that's really what it's about. Let's just wipe away the euphemisms and all the killing your children. And whose lives somehow could not be complete. Can't imagine a world in which they wouldn't be allowed to kill their children. This is where we end up when we abandon God's way. We become morally depraved. And when human beings start being seen as a liability instead of a gift, it leads to some very dark places. An increase in number, fill the earth. God gives us people blessing. A new life is a blessing. And if we diminish the importance of life and diminish the importance of individuals and people and fail to see them as made in the image of God, as we talked about earlier, well, that's when you get gas chambers and gulags and pogroms and killing fields and abortion mills. Turning away from God's plan, and there's God's plan, and then there's death and destruction. There's not a middle road. It's not like we can, I'm going to follow God's plan, or, you know, I don't want to follow God's plan, but I don't want to be evil, so we'll try to find a middle way. There's got to be another way. No, there's one way. There's one way. God's design is good. Everything that is good is encompassed in God. If it were good, notice in the garden, I haven't gotten to this yet. I don't want to get ahead of myself. Well, we did. Let's look at verse 29. Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food, and all the beasts of the earth, and all the birds of the air, and all the creatures that move on the ground, everything that has breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. It was everything to them. We're going to see later that he denies one tree to them, but he gives everything that's good to them. If it's good, God gives it to us. God does not deny us anything that is good. Despite what people say, got this cosmic killer trying to, you know, afraid that somebody's going to have a good time when he's not paying attention. That's not who God is. What did Jesus say? I come that you may have life and have it to the full, that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. God wants us to have a full life, an abundant life, a joyful life. That's his desire for us. Who doesn't want a full, abundant, and joyful life? He says, I want you to have this. I created life for you to be that. And here's how it happens. Here's how you get there. To live abundant and joyful. And we just said, well, we think we can do better. We think, well, we think we can get, we'll do. Thanks. Thanks for playing, but we think we can know better. And the result is we lose our joy, we lose our abundance. We lose the fullness of life. We lose our freedom. Because to reject God is to choose evil. That's the stark reality of it. Because God, everything that's good is encompassed in God. Everything good is encompassed in God. So if we reject God, the only choice left to us is evil. There's no middle ground. There's no other way. And because we as a culture have rejected God, well, our choices have now become evil. Verse 31, God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was the sixth day. God saw everything he made, and it was very good. So, the way God made it. It's not good now, because we've been rejecting that way. And as we reject his ways, we just slide further and further down the slope of evil. You look at abortion. It used to be abortion was, you know, even among the people who would defend, it was not seen as a good thing, maybe a scary thing. You know, there might be safe, legal, and rare. We don't want a lot of abortions. Sometimes it has to happen, but if it does have to happen, let's make it safe, let's make it legal, but let's keep it rare. There was still a wrong argument, but that was the at least there was some sense that, you know, we're treading on dangerous ground here. Now, abortion is promoted as a good. It's a good thing. Forget safe, legal, and rare. They love it. Lots of abortions. They celebrate abortion. Planned Parenthood had a campaign a while back called Shout Your Abortion. Coming on, having people come on and proudly proclaim how they killed their children. And you know, I mean, it's that slide, right? They've just slid down what once was seen as a necessary evil, even by its supporters. No, evil's never necessary, which is why that's always a problem. But now is just seen as an actual good. And safe, legal, and rare has now just become legal. They don't really care if it's safe. They don't really want it to be rare. When we turn away from God, we begin that slide down that slope of depravity, and we don't stop. We just go deeper and deeper and deeper into it. Someone who once said, it might have been Corrie Ten Boom, I don't remember who it was, said that sin will always take you further than you ever wanted to go and keep you longer than you ever wanted to stay. And that's true. We abandon God and his plans and purposes and substitute our own. It leads us down a very dark path that takes us places we never wanted to go, and we find ourselves stuck there longer than we ever would want to stay. Our only hope then is that Jesus Christ comes and he will find us and return us home. The good shepherd who searches for his lost sheep. But we have to want to be found. And the truth is that our culture is not going to change much until we start. That's what we have. It's not politicians, not political parties. It's not passing this law or that law. It's not until we as a nation and as a people turn back to the way God ordered and created and designed things will our country turn around and get back onto solid ground instead of the sinking sand we find ourselves. And I have a couple of prayer requests in we want to get to. First of all, listener writes in just saying that it's a terrible week. They had a hypodermic needle shot in their left eye on Tuesday. Ouch. And then my wife had radiation treatments every single day and then had to have chemotherapy. And just feeling a little discouraged this week. Lord, we do pray for this listener and his wife. Just obviously a rough week for them, feeling perhaps a bit. Lord, we pray for your encouragement, that you would uplift their spirits, strengthen them. Lord, we pray over these health issues. We pray for healing and strengthening of them, that you would, Lord, deliver them from these ailments. And Lord, bring healing upon them. Deliver his wife from this cancer, that you would grant her total and complete victory over that. That there would be, she would be complete cancer free from it. And Lord, we pray for just a renewing and a refreshing of their spirit. Lord, as you remind them of your great love for them and show and care that love upon them. And we pray this in your name. Amen. And then another listener saying they're going to need surgery on their right hand, but are offering a praise that the surgery is simple and is going to be covered under insurance, so they're praising God for that. But we still want to pray for them. Lord, we do lift this listener up to you as they're facing surgery on the right hand. And Lord, we do pray that it's not complicated or involved surgery. We do thank you that you've already made sure that that's going to be covered. The expense of that will be covered. And so, Lord, we thank you already for those provisions that you have already shown to them. And we pray now, Lord, that as they move forward with that surgery will go well, that will solve the issue with their hand. Lord, you bring complete healing to them, even as we already see your hand in this, as you are already arranging things and allowing things for a good outcome. And so we just thank you, we praise you, Lord, and know that you finish the work that you have started in this. And we pray this in your name. Amen. Well, thank you so much for tuning in to the Prayer Closet. Remember, if you have a prayer request throughout the day, you can always call here at the station. Monday, Friday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. There's folks here be happy to pray with you at 419-389-0893. You can also email or text your prayer request to us at any time at prayer@yeshome.com, and we'll be happy to pray for you there. Or go online to our website, yeshome.com, click on the Chat Now button to get connected to a live online spiritual coach for a live online chat session. That's available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So much for tuning in. I'm Pastor Tommy Briggs. It's been the Prayer Closet. Have a fantastic day, everybody, and we will see you tomorrow. God bless.